You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Let's have a discussion now about heteronormative privilege. Do you know what privilege you enjoy as a straight person? Or maybe you don't identify as straight. What are the privileges you feel you don't enjoy but heterosexuals enjoy? I want to hear from you on 011-883-0702. You can send us WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. So we often talk about white privilege, other forms of privilege, and I thought it would be good for us today to focus on heterosexual privilege. Many of us can see the privilege we live with on a daily basis, whatever that is. So we will be learning what privileges those who identify as straight enjoy, because the thing is, when you know your privilege, you get to understand the struggles of those that are different to you. And I'm really looking forward to learning today. So if you've got some questions or you want to share your experiences with us, you're welcome to give us a call or send us a voice note or send us an SMS on 31702. Mbali N is a social innovator and commentator that we often bring on the show to have these discussions with us. Mbali, thank you for making time. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Who? I don't even know where we should start, right? I don't even know where we should start. Maybe start by explaining to us how you understand heteronormative privilege to mean.
Okay. So kind of this is an area where I, as a heterosexual person, often have to check my privilege and my blind spot as well. So I'm learning right alongside the listeners. Heteronormativity is this idea that a legitimate romantic relationship is between a man and a woman. So it says that heterosexuality is the only sexual orientation and that other sexual orientations are invalid. It's the reason, for instance, that you might walk past 1,000 heterosexual couples holding hands in a day and not notice. But when you see a gay couple holding hands, you notice, because heterosexuality has been normalized to the point of invisibility. It also means that whether or not they admit it, a lot of people are uncomfortable seeing homosexual love, which creates a whole lot of privileges that heterosexual people take for granted.
Wow, that's so fascinating, because, I mean, how often do you sit as a heterosexual and think, oh, I just kissed my lover in public, or I was holding their hand at a mall or walking into a restaurant, and that was like, it's easy. It's become normal, right? But for somebody else who is not in that position may have to think twice, because if they're seen to do that, it's so noticeable. And those are some of the things that we often take for granted. Let's talk about the other privileges that those who identify as straight enjoy. And I want you maybe to touch on representation, because I think the representation of queer people, for instance, is still taboo in the media. You know, children of same-sex parents often do not even see their family units being represented in whether it's literature or even educational material.
Absolutely. So media representation is so key, because the media plays a big role in validating us and validating human relationships and connection and validating our identity as people, right? The role of the media is really to reflect human society in an ideal world. It's to reflect human society in a very kind of accurate and in a diverse way. But we know that's not always the case. So if you think about gay love in movies, right? So first of all, you know, we don't see a proportional amount of gay love in movies. And even when producers, for instance, do cast gay characters, it's always in a way that's one-dimensional and focuses on their sexual orientation, right? So their story arc will be about their sexual orientation, rather than to sort of frame their narrative as one that is normal, kind of uneventful and normal, like we often see heterosexual love, and then focus on the other elements of their humanity as well. So that's just, you know, that's one example of how in the media we see a lot of heterosexual privilege.
Yeah, when we were talking with the producers this morning, we're talking about the other privilege that exists. Like, for instance, you know, as a heterosexual person, you know, have you ever had to go and come out to your family and say, hey, mommy, daddy, or friends, me, Bali N, I am heterosexual?
Absolutely. I've never even had to think about that. You know, when I was in school and I had a crush on a boy, it was never a scandal, right? It was never like this sort of taboo thing that kind of was made out to be something that was wrong. I just took it for granted that I was allowed to like boys. So this idea of even coming out of the closet is a really strange idea, right? That, you know, scandalizes the idea of having a sexual orientation that is outside of the norm. I encourage people to even think about the word straight versus the word, for instance, queer, right? Mm, the idea of being straight is this idea that you're on like a normal path. And then when we talk about sexual orientations outside of heteronormativity, we talk about them as being abnormal or queer or weird in some sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm going to take some calls on 011-883-0702. What experiences do you want to share with us? Maybe you want to tell us about the privileges that you yourself enjoys as a straight person, or maybe in any other context that other people actually don't enjoy. Have you ever thought about that? That just as a heterosexual, you can walk in a mall and you can hold hands with your heterosexual partner, and that is normalized, so to speak. But how often do you see that also being normalized when there is a homosexual couple, right? When there's a queer couple walking in a mall and they're holding hands or they're kissing in public? Have you ever thought about how easy those things are for heterosexuals, and they're so normalized that you don't even think that it's a privilege? But it is, because you also, as a heterosexual, don't have to come out to your family and make a big deal out of it, or, you know, sit your friends down and explain that this is how I am. Imagine if the roles were reversed and you're living in a parallel universe where everything is in reverse, and just as a heterosexual person, you are the minority and you have to come out when you love, you know, the people that you love. In this case, if you're a man, you love a woman. If you're a woman, you love a man. And you have to come out to your family and explain that even to your loved ones, right? Imagine hiding your identity as a heterosexual if the roles were reversed. And those are the kind of things we're speaking about. If you've got some questions from Bali N as well, please give us a call. Like I said, all of us are learning here about our privileges. We're learning here about how we can be better people and understand the struggles of other people and how they're feeling and what their contexts are. 011-883-0702. Going straight to your calls after this. 17 before 11.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
15 minutes before 11 o'clock. This is a safe space. If you've got a question, there's no stupid question. If you want to understand how you enjoy your privilege, if you want to ask a question about how you can be a better human being and understand other people's contexts, and choices on what they say they identify as or their lived experiences, you're welcome to give us a call on 011-883-0702. I've got some interesting voice notes also that I'll play on 072-702-1702. Kustas, you're calling from Midrand. Hi.
Hi, I'm morning. Hey, Clement,
Say that again, Kustas. I lost you there,
I became aware of my privilege when one day my ex-girlfriend had these two gay guys, right?
Mm.
So me and this one of his friends, we had to go to Mall of Africa to buy some stuff. And I remember when we were going into the mall, he said to me, be aware is that they will be looking at you. And I'm like, what do you mean they're going to be looking at me? He says, no, because you are a good-looking guy with a gay guy. But I'm like, oh, okay, I'll see when they get there. I've never been this aware, Clement, of where I am.
Mm.
Whether it is in the shop, because the eyes were just simply everywhere. And I'm like, dude, is this what you meant? He said, that's what I meant. Comment, the eyes had judged me on which side am I on. And I'm like, I've never been so away. I mean, normally there's nothing easy. It's good.
And you see, what if you were even this guy's partner, Kustas, you know, because also society has looked at the other men. I'm assuming here that it was more clearer, probably through mannerisms or whatever, that the men you were with is not heterosexual. But there's also this idea that this is what a gay man looks like. So just because Kustas walks like this, speaks tsotsital, dresses in this big baggy pants, and therefore doesn't fit that profile of someone who identifies as homosexual. So I get where you're coming from. I get what you mean.
Yeah, as I said, I admire the courage and the strength of gay guys. They take a lot of comment from the society. That must be commended. They are strong. They don't guys are strong. I don't think Clement can live like that, man. I mean, everyone is away. Everybody's looking at you. No, I just want to go into place and see them be okay. But the courage that they have, they are thick skin. They are strong. And I just want to give them credit that they are the real, real strong men.
Yeah. Thanks, Clement. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution, Kustas. Mbali N, Kustas raises an important point there about how they're so strong. And I think it leads us to this idea of, and I'll play a voice note now where you can hear as someone who's suggesting that, yeah, well, they chose to take that position, right? Like, who chooses to live in a country where you almost a second class in terms of what's normal and what's not, where you can walk into a mall, you're not looked as a normal person, where your questions and your preferences are constantly questioned because they're seen as a trend, where you constantly face homophobia? Like, who chooses to live a life like that, I imagine?
I mean, imagine, you know, and I think it's such a beautiful call that we just received. And, you know, he made such enlightened remarks. And he's absolutely right that it is so courageous for people in the LGBTQ+ community to exist in the world that we live in. But even that idea of your existence being an act of courage is actually incredibly dehumanizing, Clement. And I also want to talk to this idea of movement. Movement is something that we take for granted, right? Like, as heterosexual people, we can live and work anywhere in the world and sort of trust that more or less people will accept us and that we will also find people like us. But that isn't the case. That isn't the case if you're homosexual. And not to mention, there are still many countries in 2021 where homosexuality is illegal. And half of those countries, Clement, are on the African continent.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take these voice notes and then I'll go back to Nina Keletso. I see your calls. Voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. You know, your conversation reminds me of when black people started being more prominent on TV, on radio, and just in general, other places where we're used to seeing white people. You know, I consider myself as an open-minded person. And the other day, I quoted myself that I was a bridesmaid at my friend's lesbian wedding. And I was like, no. You know what that sounds like? Sounds like you are the white person who says I have black friends. So we take it so for granted.
That is so interesting. That is so interesting. Imagine, why are you saying I was a bridesmaid at my friend's wedding? Why at my lesbian friend's wedding? Like, that really, really is interesting to look at. Here's another voice note.
Hi, Clement. Another form of heteronormative privilege is when a gay person is quote unquote unassuming, as a jambisi, you know, some people would say straight acting, etc. So you find that you are gay or homosexual or non-binary, but because you come across as a heterosexual person, then you get to, I don't know, you get away or you get to be accepted into the general fold. Yeah, that's just the thought.
And Mbali N, doesn't that speak also maybe to the privilege that exists even within the LGBTQIA+ community, where if you're unassuming, as this listener says, and you look more heterosexual, for some reason you are more accepted, right? Oh, we can take this one because he's not or she's not out there or butch or feminine, whichever way you want to look at it. So that's another privilege that's afforded to even within the LGBTQIA+ community, to those that may identify as queer, but they're more, I don't know, if you want to call it more heterosexual in their mannerism, in their day-to-day living.
Absolutely, Clement. And you know, it speaks, I love what the first voice note said around comparing this kind of privilege to any other privilege, like white privilege, for instance, right? So being able to assimilate into any environment where there is a certain way of existing that is considered normal or desirable always kind of works in your favor. And sometimes people do that, you know, as a matter of survival. Right? It's not even necessarily that they're deliberately exercising a privilege. No, it's that they feel the need to try and survive in those environments.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, there's a reason that suicide rates and rates of mental illness are actually higher in the LGBTQ community, because they spend so much time, quote unquote, in the closet. And one of the ways in which you remain in the closet is to assimilate.
Mm, yeah. Keletso, you're calling us from Sandton. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, Clement?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. A privilege that I have is going to church and not being, my faith not being questioned because
yes.
of my sexuality.
Mm,
mm. It's something that I always bring up, and a Reformed Christian, and I wanted to get baptized, and I said, I'm not doing it anymore. And I said, because of some of the beliefs that I feel are judging people.
Hmm.
You know, I thought faith and what God is teaching say are to be for everyone.
Hmm.
So why are you choosing who you discriminate against or not? And something that I always say is that I'm black. I didn't choose that, hey, actually, I don't want to be white, or I don't want to be whichever other race.
Yes,
I want to be black. And they didn't choose it either.
Mm.
So we'll stand with them because they're the minority. And something I always say to my family, that if ever you put me in a place to choose between them, even though it's a stranger or you, I will choose them.
Yeah. Oh,
because
wow.
Someone has to stand up for them.
Wow, okay, Keletso, that's so profound. Thank you for calling us in Sandton. Nina, you are in North Riding High.
Hi, Clement. So I had to recalibrate my mind, because one of the privileges that we enjoy as heterosexual people is that when people see us, no one thinks of what we do in bed.
Exactly.
When I used to see gay people, I'd be like, ooh, what do they get up into bed?
How do they do it?
Yes, exactly. And whereas with heterosexual, no one thinks.
Yeah.
And then I had to recalibrate and realize and say, these are just relationships. It's not about carnal desires and whatever. They're just as good as any other relationships, which are holistic and have got a lot of meaning, and the rest of what is deemed normal.
Mm.
It's just not carnal desires and lust and unusual sexual acts.
Indeed.
So if we stop sexualizing homosexual people from the time we see them, to say, oh, what do they get up to into bed? So that's my
interesting contributions, yeah. Nina, great contributions there, thank you. Bali, any response to that?
So to the first caller, I'd like to say, you know, I mean, it's very well documented how much religious communities have rejected the LGBTQ community. And I've heard a lot of pastors actually put homosexuality up there with bestiality and pedophilia in terms of acts of sexual sin. And I mean, there's a documentary on Netflix called Pray Away, and it talks about this thing called conversion therapy that emerged in the religious community in the States, where actually spiritual communities would intervene and try to rehabilitate people in the LGBTQ community, much like you would an addict, right? So what they were trying to create was people who would be quote unquote ex-gay. And that's so harmful on a mental health level. And sexual orientation is not not something that can be converted. And then to your second caller's point about, you know, the intrusive questions that we ask people who are in same-sex relationships about their sex lives is absolutely amazing. First of all, there's always the question of who's the boy and who's the girl.
Mm.
That question gets asked a lot, right?
Because,
and we're so homophobic that we can't understand a relationship where two people who are of the same sex and who are both masculine or both feminine would be attracted to one another. And those questions are incredibly intrusive. And also, you know, heterosexual people do a lot of things in bed that could be considered weird,
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
But we just call them kinky, right? It's a kink.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, sex is a wilderness for everyone, and we all explore in very different ways. And so to then, instead of accepting that, to say that, you know, gay people having sex is something perverse, is actually a double standard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Bali. We never have time when we have you and we're discussing these questions. I think we should have part two of this conversation. Sure. Yeah. The producers will set it up with you because I've got many other messages coming through here. I wanted us to talk even about the concept of tolerance and how that limiting that is, right? We shouldn't get to a point we say, yeah, let's tolerate one another, because even tolerance has limitations, right? You can say, I tolerate a gay couple that comes into my home, but as long as they don't kiss, or as long as they don't declare love to each other. But yeah, we'll explore some of these when we do part two of this discussion. Thanks for making time. Bali N is a social innovator and commentator. Go check her Instagram page. It's incredible, right? Prejudictionary. Go check it out on Instagram. It's doing some amazing work there.